We've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not one drop of that blood was wasted on our behalf. You died under our penalty of death. We worship You, Jesus. You set us free from the curse of the law. Any kind of penalty that we could have paid or been eligible for because of the sin nature, I thank You, Jesus. You paid the price for us. Do you have any idea how free you are? How free you've been set? I'm going to do that again in just a moment, but you've got to know something. He said Christ, that's your Savior, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How so? Because He became accursed for us. For it is written, Galatians 3:13, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. He became your curse and bore all your sins and any curse that could come on you as a result of that sin. He bore in His body on the tree. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. Do you know the moment that you lift your face towards heaven and repent and come to God or come back to God? Do you know the deal's off? What deal? Any could be proceeding towards you kinds of curses, it's broken off. Do you believe in deliverance ministry? Oh yeah, Jesus has delivered me from the curse of the law. See, when we used to circulate with others and different things, and they did the best they could, and they'd just say, well, we're going to get you free, and we're going to do this. And they'd go back, and they'd say, what we need to do is, the reason why you're acting the way you're doing is because you've got devils that's been passed down from daddy and mama and grandpa and grandma and great-grandma, and they did this and did that. Can you remember? We'd just do our best to remember, and we'd go back. Some went back as far as 14 generations to try to get it off of you. You know, I could have been Saddam Hussein's son or grandson, heard the message of Christ, come down to an altar and said, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. My daddy could have been a serial killer, a molester of children, a crazy man. Do you think that I had to go past that, past the blood, and then begin to break any preceding curses off my life? No, the buck stopped right there. He was the curse for me. I didn't have to go any further.
Yeah.
What about the family tree? My family tree, my tree doesn't fork. It's only got one root. It's only got one trunk. His name is Jesus. You can only trace my genealogy back one generation. His name's Jesus. Well, what don't you think that familiar spirits can follow, like from a father to a son, try to get? Oh, sure, they can track you down and they can try to impose, but you don't have to go in. I break what grandpa did or grandma. All you got to do is stand up and say, I've been redeemed by the curse of the law. You can't put this on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one even as good as that or better. When you come back to Him after a journey in the world, sometimes you think you got to bring a lot of stuff forward. I got to bring a lot of stuff forward to get all this going again. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Same thing that got you born again to clean all that stuff up. Don't even go there. Just lift your face up and say, hey, Father, You redeemed me from the curse of the law. I don't have to bring any of this forward. In Jesus' name, I receive Your cleansing power. I'm restored right back to where I was. Hallelujah. Did He set us free or what?
Yes. Hallelujah.
What a deal. What a deal. Hallelujah. All right. It's hard to break up a crowd that's trying to love on each other. And that's exactly right. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Boy, what a presence. Powerful Father, we just worship You for it. Give You all the praise. Give You all the glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, don't condemn yourself if you've had a hard time. Just get in there. He redeemed you. If you want to get a good start and feel good about yourself, if you just commit right now and just hold out till midnight tonight, you can say, I went from at least 2006 to 2007, never stubbed a toe, never did anything wrong. Walked with God from 2000, 2006 to 2007, didn't fall one time. Some of you are scared of that 12 hours. If I let you out at 12 here, just go home and lock yourself in a broom closet. So, tell me when it's midnight. Hallelujah. No, you can make it. How can you make it? Just one step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? Just one bite at a time. It's grace. It's grace. It's just knowing that it looks like everything's a disaster, destruction. I'm not going to make it. I can't make it. I'm going to fold. I'm going to fold to the temptation. You just put the next foot. You'll find that He's there. Well, He won't be there because there's too much destruction. The next step will really do me in. You take it in faith, Jesus. My God, He was there. The next step surely is my demise. Jesus, He's there. There never will be a moment. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I don't know how to get out of the situation I'm in to serve Him. Why don't you just start walking His way, and somehow the Word says that He'll deliver you out of every temptation. He'll find a way. He'll devise it. And you, here's a ring, ring. What? Wait a minute. There's a phone ringing. What is that? Ring, ring, clue phone. Hello, can you give me a clue? Yes, God is smarter than you are. Well, I don't see no way out of this. Are you God? No, I'm not. Well, then what are you worried about? There's a lot of things in this thing it hasn't even dawned on you yet how to get out of this. This part of my life, I just can't submit to God. It just keeps coming back and overthrowing me. Guess what? He's got a plan for that. If just keep on putting one foot in front of the other, keep calling on Jesus, before long, you'll just walk yourself right out of it and you'll look back and say, my God, how did I get through that? It was by His grace. Hallelujah. You'll look back and say, I can't even believe that. I thought that that was the end. Glory be to God. We could do another worship song since we're addicted to worship around here. There's no addict out there in the world that's as addicted to any substance as we are His presence. Hallelujah. Worship God for His strength in me, through me. Father, I thank You. We're nothing in ourselves, but we can do all things through Christ. Jesus, there's the one thing I know, and I'm happy to know it, is that I can do nothing of myself. I'm nothing in myself, but I can do all things through You. My strength, my life, my peace, my wisdom. In fact, Lord, my next breath, my next thought, my going into You, it's all weighted on You. It's all dependent on You, Jesus. I worship You and glorify You. All that You are, manifest Yourself through the power of Your Word and cover every part of this auditorium and every person in it. Through the eternal blood of the Lamb, we pray, bring every thought into captivity. To obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might as well stop thinking about tomorrow or what you're going to do when you leave here or who you're mad at or who you're glad at or how much money you'll make next week or what kind of problems you're going to have to go solve. Give God at least this much respect and just sanctify your mind right over to Him. Your body's here. You might as well bring your mind on into it. Father, in Jesus' name, I praise and magnify You. I glorify You. I worship You. Well, I was thinking about how much I love my kids. There's a better thought pattern right now. It's to put your processes on God. Worship Him and magnify Him. Glorify Him. I worship You. It's all through and by You. It's none like You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. Might as well turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And I want to tell you something right up front. Part of, I have no inhibitions about it. Part of this is a plagiarism from a Gary Carpenter 2-tape series. In fact, I was looking, correcting something on my computer last night. I had to call Darwin and said, I'm looking on this, and I got a, Candy was helping, and we got to go to Gary's website, because I'd listened to these before and got halfway through them. Gary told me a week or two ago, he said, you got to hear this. Darwin said, what are you doing trying to get a message for tomorrow? I said, yeah. No, actually, something started coming up in my spirit. And it was a really, it was a spin-off from that. But I said, my God, it was so close to everything that Gary was saying. Part of what he was saying, if you really want the full meat of it, in fact, it's called From Milk to Meat. And then the second one is, Closing the Door on the Devil, and that's at www.garycarpenter.org. Is that correct, Matt? Okay. Those are probably his latest two that's up there on the website, and they're fantastic. We're not going to even begin to go into all of everything that he's sharing there. I thought about even maybe playing some of that tonight. In fact, we're going to have a watch night service. Be here. 9 o'clock. I know we'll go in and just we'll do something that we love to do, and that's worship. We'll probably have Gay come and do a bunch of confessions. Matt said the last time she did that, I was like looking around, and he said, man, she brought the wood on that. She's not even in here. She's where? Over next. She might not even know that's a term that says, it's an athletic term, you did real good in the Spirit. So, and then we'll fellowship, but we'll have communion tonight together. Hallelujah. So I don't know a better way to end one year and start another one. Together with you, in the Spirit, worshiping God. How can it get any better than that? But I'm going to just mention some stuff, and it won't be, it just will probably be the tip of the iceberg of what Gary's covering and what he's doing. So I really encourage you, those of you that have internet access and you can go onto his website, listen to these in, I don't know, if I could verbatim, I'd go through it, but we don't have time this morning. I don't know where God will take me the next couple of weeks, but there's a message in that. But right now, those verses that we're going to begin with is right here out of chapter 5, Hebrews. Are you there? In verse 12, boy, the Callie, she sang a song that was the message. I thought I could just get up and take up the offering and leave. It was good enough. If you listen to what she said, what she was singing. A lot of started out. Hey, we're learning how to be finishers. Wednesday night we talked about Hebrews 11. And the thing that put Hebrews 11 in perspective was a great hallmark, a portrait of people that we're to use as an example of our inheritance, our faith to go forward in Christ. But you know what preceded their ability to be put on the annals of heaven and say, these are people that you need to look at? It was one that they believed God so much that they confessed, the Word said, they confessed that this world was not their home. They believed that they had, now go back there and kind of settle things down. Needed to settle down. They had an example in their heart that they would not do anything except follow Him. And they knew the most part was this. This world was not their home. They were just merely passing through. Hallelujah to God. Whew. See, if you think this world is your final resting place, You live in just the now, and the now can really levy a lot of things on you. Fear, trepidation, and a lot of different things. But I can tell you this. When you realize, see, here's the deal. When you begin to see Jesus for everything that He is, and you begin to see, the Bible says this, for the prize that was set before Him. He endured the shame of the cross. Was it shame? Oh yeah, it was shame. The man hung there, literally just not, you see the picture, it's not the right kind of picture. He wasn't clothed with a loincloth. He was totally naked. That wasn't the only shame. It was the shame of the entire world being placed upon me. But the Bible says He endured the shame for the glory that was set before Him. Hey, the things that you and I are going to endure to get to where we're going, it's not because we're gritting our teeth and saying, I'm tougher than that. It's something much more wonderful than that. It's you seeing Jesus for everything that He is and knowing that just one 5-minute, 10-minute, and if you endure and go in on a daily basis and spend any amount of time with Him, you'll find that the prize is far more weightier and worth any obstacle that can stand between you and Him. Well, I'm offended at this person. No, you're not offended at that person. All the problem is you've just not seen Jesus in His full glory yet. A lot of this has got me, I can't get past this. No. The problem is not this. The problem is what you've got to do, and it's not a problem. But let me encourage you, once you see Him for everything He is, you'll get past this, because you'll know this is worth getting past, because all of this will not stop me from having the prize, and that's a fellowship inside of Him. Not when I get there, not in the sweet by and by, the pie in the sky. I'm talking about something concrete now where you go in and the peace is so strong that it's stronger than any cocaine, it's stronger than any addictive drug, and you just want it so bad, it leaves you. Not with a void like an emptiness, but it leaves you with a craving inside your spiritual palate that you say, I gotta have that again tomorrow. I can't live with that. And anything that steps in front of you and says, you're gonna be mad at me because I'm gonna pull something on you that you just can't get past. And then you have that weight. You say, wait a minute. Either I choose this, get my eyes off on it, the problem, or either I can go in and have Him, oh, get out of my way. I'm going in. He's worth, the prize is worth getting past the obstacle. Hallelujah. It's worth it. It's worth the endurance. It's worth it. If you ever see Him, a lot of your choosing, a place where you're going to go in this year and see Him like never before. See, I realize the more and more I go into Him that I've really not yet even begun to go into Him. In fact, the more I love Him, the more I realize that there's so much more to love. The more I see Him, the more wonderful He becomes to me. And it's like I begin to tell Him, I love You, but I'm not loving You like I'm asking You to help me to love You, because I know that You're far more worth being loved than what I can possibly imagine. The only reason why I'll get up instead of pray and do something else is because I can't see Him for His full worth. If I see Him in His full worth, then it's real easy to just spend time with Him. Hallelujah. It's real easy. So we worship You, Father. You're the one. He's the one. It's through and by Him and for Him, and we glorify You. Jesus. Now look at this, verse 1. Well, no, we were in 5. I was going to go verse 1 of 6. But look at verse 12 of 5, chapter 5. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you, again, the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. And we'll just stop right there. And if you'll look up. Again, I keep referring you. And I will, because I can't help it. It's so good. Go listen to those tapes by Gary. This will mean more to you. We're going to take a little bit different route here in just a few moments. And you'll see what I mean. But these verses and the context in which he is speaking about them, the true context, has to be mentioned here. But when he says here, when Paul is writing, or whoever the author is, he says, for the time you ought to be teachers, he's not talking about the fivefold like everybody's a teacher. But he's talking about you being the example. He's talking about somebody following your example. He, in that sense, the word is saying we all are teachers. You may not be called, so some of you are, but you may not be called to stand up here in a pulpit, but he is saying this, when at the time, which is present, see, he was addressing a church, and I'll try to be as brief. You continue to pray for me because he wants to say something here. I believe he'll get it done, don't you? See, the church there, it is a book to the Hebrews, the Jews. And they were having quite a time. A lot of them have been saved. You can't imagine the pressure that was being put on them, because they were asked to now go from trusting the Mosaic law, the works of the law, which they had been raised from little bitty youngins, little bitty kids, to believe that it's this way through the Mosaic law. And now they're saying, now the apostles come along and say, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. He fulfills all that. We're not doing away with it, but if you'll trust in His blood, He fulfills all that. Boy, what pressure when thousands of them begin to say, okay, I'll trust the blood of Jesus. And then their mothers and fathers and grandparents would come and say, you can't do this. You're forsaking your... You're not only forsaking the Mosaic law, but we've raised you better than this. We've raised you to this is part of our heritage. This is family. You're not only forsaking God, you're forsaking family. You're walking away from family. And so, for thousands of them, it was a disclosure. It was to publicly confess Christ meant your family turned you out. You didn't get any more invitations to the backyard barbecues. In fact, it was far worse than that. You couldn't hardly buy in a marketplace if they knew you were a Christian. You couldn't go to their universities. You couldn't go to higher schools of learning. They absolutely excommunicated you. So there was a tremendous pressure for these Jews. And the writer, whoever the writer is trying to get across to them, and he knows they're under tremendous pressure. But he's trying to get across to them a way that he can assure them that they will stand no matter what the pressure that they need to endure for in the future. They'll be able to make it. They'll be able to get past every obstacle. And that's you and me, because there's some revivalists in this room. But here, he's giving them some kind of rebuke in the sense of the word. He's saying, for this time, at this point in time, a lot of you, we're not talking about the spiritual babes. And let me clarify something. Spiritual babes are somebody that's just been born again. And when you've just been born again, Peter even mentions a place, he says, desire you the sincere milk of the word whereby you may grow. Gehrig does a tremendous job talking about what milk is. Milk is pre-digested food. You didn't digest it. He talks about the cow, the horse, the different animals. The child or the infant or adolescence that's receiving the milk is not the one that's done the pre-digesting. It's been by somebody else. And the reason why it's milk is because they can't receive meat. That's the baby Christians. Folks, you don't come into this walk and stay in this church but just a few months, that you don't have to have milk anymore. You're ready to start digesting some steak on your own. Hallelujah. We'll get to the verse in a minute that shows why, when they should have been teachers, they were still on milk. Gary had a vision. It's a tremendous vision. He says, I'm not a prophet. He said, but the vision that I saw at the prayer center in Tulsa was, he said, I saw a lot of people sitting around. And he said they were in the vision. He said he knew it was spiritual. They were trying to chew meat with their jaws. And they said, we are so tired of this meat. We just long for the day we could take a good long drink of some good cold milk. The Lord said in the prophecy to him, and he said, he actually cited a prophecy that they had received out there in 2005 and said, the foundations have been laid. God's not going back for anyone and relay the foundations again. Everyone can get in on the foundation. It's there. And the milk is there. As soon as you come in, you can begin to be from a baby, bottle fed, right on up, and very quickly receive the meat. But the Lord's saying, because of where we're going in the revival, He's saying, as an essence of teaching and going forward, that the foundations have been laid for revival, and that He's not going back to relay those foundations again. And in the vision, what Gary saw was people were saying, we wish we had some milk again. Because what's being fed to us is meat. And Gary said, meat is no problem. You can receive meat. The only problem is, it's what you do with the meat. That's what qualifies you or disqualifies you as whether or not you're able to really digest the meat or if you're still on milk. Well, let me give you a verse on that. He says this again, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one would teach you again. Notice that, again. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God and are become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone, well, Sam, I just love the milk of the word. Well, what does verse 13 say? For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. He can't digest. He's not, the reason why he's a babe is he's not digesting the word as in himself. He's getting it from somebody else. It's pre-digested food. What do you mean by that? I simply mean this. If you're not a hearer of the word and a doer only, if you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer, Jesus said, you're like the man who built his house on the sand and the storm comes and it washes it away. But the man who hears the word and does the word, he's like a man who builds his house on a rock. And when the storm comes, he's prepared. What Paul is telling them here is the reason why that you're not able, even though you've heard again and again and again, is in all essence, you're not doing what you've already heard to do. Look up in verse 10. It says, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered. Now look at this right here, because this is where he proceeds into verse 12. Seeing you are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Now look, skip down to verse 13. That's where we were just at. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, that's the strong meat of the word of God, belongeth to them that are of full age. That word full age is the word maturity. Even those who by what? Reason of what? Of what? Use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says, because they've used the word of God on their five senses. When he says the senses, he's talking about the five senses. To grow themselves up. They've taken the word, and they've not only heard the word, but they've become a doer of the word. They haven't just identified with the word. They've actually taken the word of God and began to process it. In what way? Explain. Okay. The reason why they were disqualified from being examples, teachers, like somebody ought to be following you, is because he said, when for the time you should be examples one to another, you become dull of hearing. And this is what Gary brings out so wonderfully. He talks about this particular verse of Scripture, and he said, what disqualified them is they become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. What's that? When you hear something so much, when you hear for 10 years, over and over and over again, the message on praying in tongues, the message on worship, the message is on fasting, and you hear the examples, and you hear the examples. Well, this is the way you do it. Or you hear Dave's old stories, or his messages, his examples of this or that or the other. And after a while, you get to the point where you say, you know what? I really don't want to hear that anymore. I've heard that so many times. I really don't want to hear that. That's old hat. That's old hat. Do you know why that's old hat to many? It's because you're not the doer of it. It's not working in you. Well, I've heard it time and time again. Are you doing it? No, I'm not doing it, but I've heard it 1,000 times. Or you make an identification by association. An identification by association. Well, I go to a church where all that we talk about is prayer, 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 prayer. Well, are you doing it? Well, as a matter of fact, I'm not, but still I go to that church. Listen, if you slept last night in a garage, that doesn't make you a pickup truck. You can sit here year after year and hear the message, but unless you do it as for the time you ought to be an example to others, but he said, the reason why you're not is because you're dull of hearing. You've heard it over and over again. And when you don't do what you've heard, you're still just digesting what somebody else digested for you. You're eating what somebody digested for you. My God. Now the first part of this, again, I tell you, can't even do it justice to some of that, what Gary was talking about. So I divert you back there. We're going to go a little bit different here. He says in verse 1, we'll read 14 again, last verse of 5. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's mature. That's the word mature, grown up. Even those who by reason of use have their senses, that's their emotions, their physical senses, exercised. Exercise means you've done something with them. Exercise, that's the same word like you worked out. You did something with them. You took the meat and you said, the human qualities inside of me that are paralyzing me from going forward in Christ, all my doubts, fears, inhibitions, my biases, my prejudices, everything inside of me that could possibly keep me from being more conformed, I'm exercising them out of the way. How so? By the meat of the Word of God. I'm not doing this. I'm not hearing Pastor Bronk or somebody else or Sister Barbara or somebody talk about praying in tongues. I'm getting it for myself. This is my meat. It's me. It's strength to me. And he said, that's the grown up. They're doing it for themselves. You know, nobody can stand in proxy for you on that line of maturity. They can't stand in proxy for you to grow. You have to do that for yourself. Glory be to God. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 6. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. He's saying the same thing that I was saying concerning what God was saying prophetically to us. These things have been laid. And he was saying to that church, he goes, look, there's no need to go back and relate these things to you again. These things have already been founded inside of you. All you've got to do now is do the message. Do it. Just go forward and do it. Now, let's go just a little bit further into this chapter. Look over in verse 11. 6:11. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Worship you, Jesus. And he says, we desire that every one of you do show forth the same diligence. Everybody say same diligence. How many of you want to go forward in 2007? How many of you want to be standing toe-to-toe on this line when we get to the end and we're all going in together? Glory be to God. Nobody being left behind. I don't want to leave you behind. I don't. But I'm going forward. Hallelujah. Just know this. I'll help you if you're wanting to go the way I'm going. Glory be to God. So we're all the same. He says in this, desire that you, every one of you, everybody say every one of us. Every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. Full assurance of hope unto the end. Well, for us, that's revival. He says that you be not slothful. Well, we don't have any slothful people in here. Glory be to God. Thank God, because we're making a commitment to you revivalist. He says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. Now he didn't say inherited. He said inherit. He's saying present tense. Those who are inheritors of the promises. But what was his instruction to the church? And what's his instruction to us? Look at it quite diligently here with me, because we need to see it. He says, and desire that every one of you, 11, do show forth the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience do inherit the promises. And he goes on to talk about some about Abraham and the example that he set. He was a patient man. He saw God's promise, had faith. But he's not just talking about Abraham. He said those that are inheritors, those who inherit presently, not those who did inherit, but those who inherit presently, they're followers. They're followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. But this is what you've got to see. And this is where we take a little turn here. He said, when he says and mentions, and you've got to understand this because this will help you. He said, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Do you know what the word followers is? King James put it down as followers. Do you know what the actual Greek says? It says imitators. Imitators. But be ye imitators. You know what the other word is? Comes out of that? Impersonators. They say impersonation is the highest form of flattery. I've got something for you better than that. He said, be ye imitators of one another. Those especially are who are setting the example. Those who in the Word, like Abraham, and he lists him there. But he's saying, be ye imitators. Imitate them. Follow in the same direction that they got, that they were in, and you'll get to where you're going. Imitators. Like what? How so? Imitators like in how you walk, how you talk, how... No. Imitators in your sincerity to go further into God this year than you've ever gone before. Imitators are those who are setting the example. And he said, at this time, was he talking about the apostles? He said, no. At this point in time, all of you should be teachers setting the example in front. How much is imitation? You know, I've heard all my life, don't be a follower, be a leader. This is one time you can be a follower. In fact, you can't be a good leader unless you're a good follower. But the absolute extreme wording on this is be imitators, be impersonators of what? The godly life of those who are walking in front of you, first by those who are listed in the Word of God, then the surroundings of everything that is around you, those that have taken hold of strong meat, watch their lives and let others watch the life of you and behind you, those that are coming up behind you and those that are before you. Imitate one another as in going into God. The imitation in the natural has a certain strong essence to it. I remember Bob Yandian, he was talking about a man that got delivered. He pastors about a 6,000 person church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A wonderful teacher of the Word of God. I've loved his tapes through the years. And he was talking about being followers, imitators. He was just showing in the practical sense how that it had a spiritual essence to it. So there was a man in his church who got delivered from homosexuality. And he'd been that way ever since he was a baby, ever since he was a small child. Something come on him. He'd always been that way. He had a certain way he put his hands on his hip. And I won't throw mine out like that. Because I like to wrestle hogs. And I like my wife. He said, this guy got born again. He didn't even know how to act like a man. He's been one way all of his life. He didn't even know how to act. He said, what do I do? You know, all my life, you know, instead of, you know, hanging out with the boys, I was over in the perfume department with the ladies. Well, Bob said, look, what you got to do is just get some good godly men and just do what they do. Just follow them. Just hang out with them and follow them. And I'm not saying this by a stereotypical way. I mean, if you don't like football, that doesn't make you less of a man. You know, or you don't like hunting, that don't make you a man. But there are certain things that men you know, are just men things. So that guy hung around, he'd watch the guys. When they had spit, he'd spit. When the way they put their hands on his hip, they'd, you know, he's just a single man. He's been one way. It took him a year or two. But he was a follower, an imitator. He was an impersonator. He began to learn how to be a man. In fact, he got overly healed. He married a girl in the church and they had like 7 kids. Just watch the boys. Just watch the men. Watch the men, you know. Don't go to the mall today with the girls. You know, that's okay to go to the mall. I like to go to the mall with my wife. I had to clarify these things. I don't want nobody in here to. I had a cousin. We was 7 or 8 years old. 6, 7. Now this is really the core of it is not this, but it's an offspring of it, a shoot of it, an example. When I was going in the woods with my granddaddy, and he didn't have a father, but he did have a lot of manly influences around him. But I'd go down to his house, and we was the same age, 9 months apart. And instead of him playing, you know, I wanted to take the guns and play cowboys and Indians or cops and robbers and shoot a lot of people dead. You know, and I never have wanted to kill anybody, so you people think, you know, don't let your kids play like that. I've never had an aspiration to kill anybody. It's just fun. I saw, you know, old Westerns. But he was painting his toenails and playing dress up. He's 40-something year. I'm 47. He's 47. I will be in 12 days. God. No, I meant 37. Excuse me. He's been in homosexuality all his life. Imitators. What's the spiritual significance? He's saying be followers together, one of another. I bet Matt will never allow James to paint his fingernails. But the spiritual example is this. He said, be ye followers of one another. Well, you say, that was followers of Old Testament people or followers of Paul. Let me give you some more ammunition here so you'll be thoroughly convinced when you walk out here today how connected we are one to another. Can I do that? Because since we're here in the house of God, you need to have this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4:16. We won't stay in these places for just a moment. But I want you to see 1 Corinthians 4. I'm going to give you back 6 scriptures real quick. You might want to write these down. But look. Verse 16. Well, let me start. I always do this to you. And verse 14 epitomizes what I want to say to you today. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Because whatever I say, it's not condescending. We're starting to eat some meat, and I'm talking to revivalists. I'm talking about, in the next few moments, it's about examples. If I could sit here among you and preach this, I would. Because I'm not up here preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I'm part of you. This is meat to me. I know that this is speaking to my life. There's some conformity to Christ that I want to go after this year like I've never, with a tenacity like I've never gone after. And so Paul is saying here, and he's speaking to the church, and he says, here in 15, he says, for though you have 10,000, look at this, boy, this is something. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now wait just a minute. He said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, how could you possibly have 10,000? What he's saying here, you may have 10,000 people that want to sit across the table with a cup of coffee or a Coke in their hand and talk to you and tell you about their experience and say, this is how I'm doing it and you should do it this way. You may have thousands and thousands, but he said, let me tell you, don't have many fathers. I can talk to anybody. Usually people that go off on this is when they get real religious with me, I don't even try to correct them. Unless I see they want to be corrected. You know how many fathers I've got? About two. Dave and Tim, and I've got an older brother that's like a father to me, and that's Gary Carpenter. But I've got many brothers and sisters. And a lot of you I really respect. Because I know you pray over something and you say you don't let your mouth move before your spirit moves. The people whose mouths move and their heads move before their spirits have had time to meditate something and they want to tell me something and speak into my life. I just smile real pretty and say, thank you so much. And I just file it someplace where it's not picked up again. But he says, though you have 10,000 people sit across from you and try to instruct you in Christ, he said, here's the best thing for you. Mixture, not having many fathers are good for you. Why? Because you think, a lot of people think more's better. I'm going to go listen to this guy and I'm going to go listen to that guy. What will it do? It'll only mix you up if you're not praying in tongues. And by the way, if you're praying in tongues, why do you got to go listen to a whole bunch of people anyway? Because you got the one that's going to teach you. But the verse we wanted to really look at here, he says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. And that word fathers are elders or those who will indoctrinate you in the things of God. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. Now, again, this word followers is the word imitator. Or, take it another level, impersonator. Imitator, impersonator. He said, be ye followers. Imitate me. Can you say that, Pastor Bronk? I don't know. I hope I can. By what means? Imitate like how you walk, how you dress, how you act. No, no, no. Your pursuit of God. Your pursuit of God. Can someone come behind you, look at you and say, there's a teacher. They're on meat. I want to imitate their life. I want to follow their life. I want to pursue God. And Paul said, be ye an imitator of my... Isn't that strong to tell somebody, imitate me? Imitate me. Follow me. Imitate me. You understand what that means. It's going, imitating the parts of their life that are in pursuit. If they're in pursuit, you get into pursuit. You follow right in behind them and follow in their tracks because where they're going is where you want to be also. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about how I do things. In my sense of the word, one time I remember somebody was here preaching and they said, you don't have to be like Pastor Bronk. You got the Holy Spirit. And for a lot of you, it sets you free. I heard a resounding amen. Glory to God. I thought to myself, thank God they understand they don't have to be all little Bronks. But I hope they're saying amen to the fact that they're in coalition, they're in a connection with the Holy Spirit and they can hear from Him and He'll instruct them how to pray, when to pray and to go forward. I hope they're not saying, thank God I'm being set free because I don't have to do the prayer message. That's His to do. So I don't have to imitate Him. No, I'm not asking you to do it just like I do it. I'm asking you to follow me as I follow Christ. Going into Him. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Well, You're putting a little condemnation on us. No, don't you mean conviction? Because we're accountable to each other. Now let me give you some more. He says, follow me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Because I didn't want you to think I just pulled one scripture out on being an imitator, and that was the only one that was there. I want to give you plenty to look at. He says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And again, it's the word imitator or impersonator. Hallelujah. Are you having a good time this morning? I am. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Look what he says here. Just so you'll know that the same tenacity that you're supposed to follow God, he's using the same word when he gives it an example to following each other or following himself. Up till this point, all we've been able to see is Paul was either saying follow an Old Testament example like Abraham or follow me. You say, well, that's Paul. That's an apostle. He can say that. And this next one, we can all agree with. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 1, he says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. We can all say, amen to that. We want to imitate God. We say, well, I'm going to imitate God, not a man. Listen, Paul had the audacity to use the same word in his writings in the verses that we've just read to you when it referred to man as when he says here, be ye an imitator of God. Does that bring us into an accountability to each other or what? Philippians 3:17. You know that I love this particular chapter because it talks about Paul's intimacy so strong and what the goal of his heart was, where he was headed more than any other place. He says, brethren, verse 13, look at verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, and that's spiritually mature, he says, be thus minded. And if in any thing you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Well, thank God for that. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk as the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And he says, brethren, watch this. Verse 17, are you looking at it? Brethren, be ye followers together of me, that's the word imitators, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So again, he's saying, follow us and those who are like us as an example in this. More ammunition. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Look at verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Is that where we're headed? When people come in, we don't just preach the word, but we have something to give them in power. and in the Holy Ghost in much assurance, and you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. That's a good combination, isn't it? Having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, and watch this, so that ye were examples. Now he turns it on the whole church and he says, so that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. You know what examples here? It's not the EX, it's the same word as examples, King James. He says, you became examples. It's the word prototype in the Greek, prototype for that which is to be imitated or followed. He said, you all became that which could be imitated or followed. Glory be to God. Well, that's real good, Pastor. No, let me tell you what's real good. We've got some revivalists. What does that mean to me? Let me ask you something. I'm not preaching at you. I wish I could sit here, but let me ask you. If somebody gets in and follows you this year, if they follow you, will your prayer life, if they follow your prayer life, will it take us into revival? Well, that's for you to do. No, he said that you all set yourself an example to be imitated. The only person that would disqualify in this is that you just got born again or you're coming back from a long... If somebody falls in behind you and follows your prayer life, will we get to revival? That's what you got. I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm asking you to ask yourself this. Will we get to revival if somebody imitates your life, your prayer life? Whew. That's accountable stuff. Will we get to revival if somebody follows your example of church attendance? Oh God, Pastor, you're being legalistic. He said, imitators of those who through faith and patience... Can somebody come in here and watch your church attendance and say, if I follow them, we'll get to revival? Now, I'm going to be transparent. And the reason why I can is because I've won. If I was fighting, then I couldn't be. And for a good time now, thank God, I've been free. But even as much, and I'm not, some of you may pray as much or more than me. I don't know. Some of you are just real quiet about it. And the only reason why I mention it is because I'm trying to set example. But I've come out on countless Wednesday nights when there's been four or five when we start, and later on it'll get going, you know, where there'll be more, and fought the most terrific battle without you knowing it. Of why am I even here? Who even cares? Why go on year after year? And he'd stand over in the corner. You're an idiot. You could be doing something far better with your life. Who really, really cares? Now, for a long time, that thought doesn't even... I'll come out here and preach. The crowds haven't changed that much, and I'm not saying that to be mean. But all I'm saying is, if that affects me, what is it to the young one that comes in here and says, they're a team going towards revival, and I only see that person ever once in a while? All I'm asking you is to take an account of yourself. If somebody gets in behind you and they want to imitate you, can we get there to where we're going by the basis of following your life? Whew, that's hard stuff, but it's good stuff. Can a little one come in here? Because if I felt like, what's the use? If you're on a football team and half your squad doesn't show up, you're thinking, well, I'm not playing the game. Forget it. We say, well, you know, I'm my own person and everybody needs to be their own person and don't, you know, Satan coined a term and it came from hell. Don't do as I do, do as I say. No, you do as the person does. You lead by example. Paul said, the whole bunch of you set a prototype whereby the church in Macedonia and Achaia could follow you as imitators. And all we have to ask ourselves is a hard question. What about my prayer life? Can a little one who is going to be on the milk for a short season, can they get in here and if they could know what I'm praying and how I'm praying, would that take them into the next level of development? And will it take us all into revival? Do you still love me? Will my giving, if everybody gives like me, will there be more than enough? If everybody has the concern, and I'm not talking about amounts, you know that it's all about heart issues around here. And you could be going through a hellacious time where you've got just enough. Please. You know I've always taught, if it comes down to you feeding your kids, now some churches, most churches won't tell you this. They'll say, believe God. It's a cop out. They want your money. If it comes down to you paying your light bill or feeding your kids, you pay your light bill and you feed your kids. But I'm talking about the heart issue. How much do you think about the welfare of the church? Do you ever have those conscious moments where you think about what I'm spending on myself? Am I giving that much or more to the church? Like playthings and this, that, and the other. If everybody followed your example, will we get there from here? Man, you say, I didn't come in here to be beat on. I'm talking to revivalists. If everybody gives, I'm not talking about the amount, but with the heart attitude, will this church have more than enough? Well, no. You're supposed to be setting a prototype. Do you still love me? And the list could go on and on and on. If everybody did just like you're doing, will we get there from here? It's a big thing. There's a lot of things in my life in the last few years I thought, well, I could do that. And I could still get to heaven and get a reward. But you know what? I want to set an example because I'm saying we're going to revival. I'm going to do what I'm saying. Well, I'm not part of the staff and I'm not, no. He said here, and I can give you some more. You want some more? I'll give you some more imitator words. Be ye followers of one another. Be imitators of one another. Can I get behind you? Will you take me into the ditch or will you take me into revival? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And I'm saying ouch too. Because that makes me accountable to you. I got to watch myself. I got to watch how much play I do. Accountability is a good thing. It's a good thing. If you can, lift your hands. Stand with me and just worship God. I won't beat on anymore. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. Say this with me. I say that Immokalee is in revival. I say that this part of Florida is consumed and the whole state, the beacon to the United States. Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. The demoniac is set free. And millions and millions are born again. I am
a follower,
an imitator
of those
who through faith and patience
inherit
the promises,
the promises of God.
I'm not only an imitator,
I can be
and will be
imitated
in the days
ahead.
Father, take my life.
Lead me into the
fullness.
Not by might,
nor by power,
but by your Spirit.
In Jesus'
name.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to
God. Hallelujah.
You know,
there's more grace coming
on us because
it's not that
we still don't have
weaknesses,
all of us,
but we're
learning how to deal with them.
Dave
said, and I'm
relating more and more,
he said he used to
pile all of his energy
into
focusing on
fixing himself in
that area.
Now,
instead of even
concentrating on that
area, he
diverts all of his
attention
on Christ.
And puts all of
his effort into the
thing that will change
that over there.
And that's putting
your attention,
your worship,
and your essence
on him.
Not even giving
that
the
attention.
Not following that.
Not trying to fix
it in
your mind
and your will and your
emotions. And gritting
your teeth and saying,
I'm going to
conquer that this
year. No.
Just lay that
aside.
Set your affections
on him.
And you'll get to the end
and you'll say, my God,
that got fixed.
How'd it get fixed?
It got fixed
while you're putting your
attention over on him.
Hallelujah.
You don't even
have time to
condemn yourself.
Well, I need
to think about how
that I can keep this
from happening the next
time. I'm
going to think about all
the reasons why I can
put up a guard
here. No, just
forget about all
trying to,
you know,
don't try to
forge yourself in
and head yourself
in the best
way
to
assure
yourself that
there'll come a day
where you're not falling
to that anymore. It's
just put your attention
on him.
Begin to worship
him. Do the things
in the spirit
that'll get you past that.
Hallelujah.
Concentrating
on that will only
cause you to fall into
it again.
Because you'll be
looking at that instead
of looking at him.
Look at him.
You'll get past
that.
Hallelujah.
Man,
that's good preaching.